differently today. If you have your hymnal, open it to hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. We don't have that. We kind of skipped over a sermon hymn or hymn of the day. Well, we're going to incorporate that into the sermon. Our sermon text is based on the reading from Jeremiah that Paula read earlier. And it comes to us when God's people were in captivity. They lay in chains of captivity. That's the background. The people of Israel's sin had cast them far from their homeland, and seemingly far from God Himself. But God never gave up on His people. He said He was their Father, they were His dear children. So God wrote another chapter to the story. As the prophet Jeremiah says, Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. That reference to the north country isn't Buffalo. It's not even Canada. It's the route that the invaders took, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, when they came down to take over and capture Israel and Judah and carry the people away into captivity. Maybe you know that Old Testament story. It's your story too. Not because invaders are going to come from Canada and invade us. They're not going to invade New York, take us into captivity. Maybe some of you with the election wish they would. I don't know. Enough of that. But it's your story if you feel that God is far away. It's your story because really all of history, all of the events that God orchestrates throughout time are not just things that are in the past, but it's how God is shaping the world and sanctifying it. God's working for our good to overcome those corrupting effects of sin that flow through all of our lives. You see, God wants us to see ourselves in some of those events. And knowing the story of God's mighty works shapes our lives too. Shapes how we think about God and know who He is, and it shapes how we think about ourselves and who we are. Knowing where we come from shapes who we are. And just as the story of the Bible repeats itself over and over again in human nature, so does the story of a man named Martin Luther. And it repeats again the story of Christ saving us. Martin Luther's personal story, like ours, is a story of the wonders that God works through Jesus Christ. So as you open your hymnal to 556, and keep it open for the whole sermon, this is one of Luther's earliest hymns that he wrote. And it tells his personal story. It's kind of autobiographical. But the real point of it is that he and we are part of Christ's story. And Christ's story is our story. So as we sing the first verse, listen and hear the story of Jeremiah's people. And you'll hear your story in it as well. That's why the children of Israel can rejoice. That's why dear Christians, one and all, can rejoice because of what God has done for us and the victory that He's won for us through Christ. Now maybe you know Martin Luther's story, the early years anyway, how he was shaped by the medieval church itself and all that they were teaching at the time. And if you lived in his time, you would likely be, as he was, in constant fear. Fear of death. Fear of hell. Fear of the law of God. And following the death of a friend of his, and following a fearsome thunderstorm where he feared for his own life, Martin Luther was terrified. He was afraid of not just death, but what lay beyond. Purgatory and hell. Purgatory was the place where all your sins were burnt off. Well, the way he saw Jesus was as a judge. As a judge who compared your soul and mine to His righteousness. That's the way the church was preaching at the time. So Luther did everything that the church prescribed to try to earn his own salvation. After that thunderstorm, he went and became a monk, lived in a monastery. He studied and then became a priest. And he went to his father confessor and confessed hour upon hour, so long that he said, "Brother Martin, stop it." He prayed. He prayed on his knees for so long that his knees bled. Self-torture. But he found no comfort. He never thought he would have done enough. You see, the medieval church preached the law, the law, the law, with so little gospel that Martin Luther was convinced that he was lost. He knew all that he had done wrong. He knew what his heart was like, the blackness that was in it. Don't we all? But he wasn't allowed to say, "Sure, I've sinned, but I'm forgiven." He wasn't allowed to say that. We can, by the grace of God, through the power of our baptism. Yes, I'm sinful, but I'm forgiven. But the side effect of that in our day is that we skip over how deadly and how damning our own sin is. For most of us, our salvation came when we were infants at baptism. We were spared from hell and death, the eternal death. But before that, while we were babies, or when we were in the womb, I guess you'd say, long before we even remember, we lay in Satan's chains, bound in that captivity to sin, death, and the devil, with nothing but death to be our portion. We were spared from hell, so it's hard for us sometimes to remember that that's what we deserve. So let's sing in stanzas 2 and 3, "How We Were," written by someone, Martin Luther, who was keenly aware of his own sinfulness and his own desperation before God. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered. How would you like to live like that for 30 years? First 30 years of your life. Well, for Martin Luther, about the age 30, his life changed a bit, and when he was sent to become a professor at Wittenberg University in Germany. And as he prepared to lecture on the Psalms, he ran across Psalm 22, where King David wrote the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Luther was stunned. Stunned. How can Jesus be forsaken by God? How can Jesus suffer the agony of being distant from God, abandoned by God? How can he suffer that same suffering that I'm feeling? Jesus suffered the pangs of hell on the cross. Jesus suffered the rejection of God the Father. Then Luther realized that this was God's plan for him, for Martin Luther. Luther wrote the next two stanzas of our hymn as this conversation between God the Father in heaven and God the Son in heaven before the foundation of the world, the plan of salvation. Can you imagine that conversation in heaven? My son, you know what this means. Nothing is more precious to me than you are. From all eternity you have been with me. But this means that I'll have to turn my back on you and forsake you. What's really amazing about that conversation is that you, Luther, and you and me are all part of it. It's about us before the foundation of the world. You personally. My son, bring salvation to Martin. From sin and sorrow, set Jeff free. Slay bitter death for Pat and Jan and Susan and Betty and Kenny so that they may live with you forever. Let's sing that in stanzas 4 and 5. But God had seen my wretched state before the world foundation, and my soul of His mercy prayed, He planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart, He did that to you know the next part of the story. We repeat these events every year from December through May during the church year. Stanza 5 that we sang was about Advent. Stanza 6 is about Christmas and Epiphany. Stanza 7 is Lent. And stanza 8 is Good Friday and Easter. And then stanza 9 is the Ascension and Pentecost. It's the story of Christ. How Christ obeyed the Father's will. He was born of the Virgin Mother. He wrestled with Satan for us. He shed His precious blood on the cross. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, we heard. But He also won victory over death. He returned to life. And you know that story, the story of Easter. What Martin Luther does so beautifully in this hymn is he puts us into Christ's story. Christ came to be our brother, not to be an angry judge looking for a reason to send you to hell. Jesus is a brother you can be close to. A common person like you and me. A servant. You can imagine what that meant to Luther. When the emperor and the pope and the whole church was arrayed against him, Christ was with him. Can you see Martin Luther holed up in the Wartburg Castle when he was declared fair game and anybody could kill him if they wanted to? It wasn't the walls of the castle that protected him. It wasn't the soldiers of the castle, nor the secrecy of being there in secret. No, it was Christ. So he said, "A mighty fortress is our God too." You see, out of Christ's story comes the great doctrine of the Reformation, that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone. Salvation is not by man's works. No matter how much you pray on your knees, it's not about what you do. It's not about the blood of your knees. It's about the blood of Christ on the cross. Salvation is not by man's works, as the church had been teaching. We're blessed with eternal life because Jesus bore our sin for us. That's what grace is. That's why Christ's story is our story too. As we sing stanzas 6, 7, and 8, listen as Christ brings you into His story.
Final two verses.
we find the point where our stories, like Luther's, intertwine with Jesus. The speaker in the hymn could be any one of the characters in our stories, Jesus, Martin Luther, or us. First of all, it is the voice of Jesus, talking about his ascension into heaven, what he's left for us here on earth. But secondly, you could think of them as Martin Luther's parting words to us, as he knows that he will die and go to heaven. This is what I leave with you. I guess you would say, this is what we as Christians have received from those who have gone before us. What we would wish to pass on to those who come after us, especially parents to their children. You see, the Reformation of the Church, which began almost 500 years ago, was about restoring Christ's teaching to the Church. The gospel soon came to this new world that we call America. And that's not just history. It became the life story for millions of Christians. A story of eternal life. Before his death, Martin Luther knew that false teachings would quickly follow. The base alloy, the cheap metals, of false gospels of the world would begin to mix themselves in with the pure, pure, precious gospel, the pure gold of the gospel, you might say. Like Jesus and the apostles, he warned about it frequently before he died. Don't let anyone introduce into you false teachings, teachings which aren't from the Bible. From God's Word. Pass on what you have learned from the Scriptures, from Jesus Himself, to your children. What could be more important than to pass on this pure doctrine and truth? So we continue to make this our story. It's who we are. So let us conclude by singing the last two verses, verses 9 and 10. As we proclaim in personal terms the wonders that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Lord, and may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now to my Father I depart. I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as printed on the inside back cover of your hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.